tonight? Glimpses of heaven. We are looking forward to going there. We're going to see a little bit, just glimpses of that which we are looking forward to. John chapter 14, please. John chapter 14. Verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that there where I am, there you may be also. I wonder what that place is going to look like. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What is that place going to look like? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. My. Can you imagine that? What is it going to look like? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. I know such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I cannot tell. God knows. He was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words. Unspeakable words. Words which human language cannot express. Words beyond the imagination of human beings. 1 Kings chapter 10. Unmentionable words. Words which we have no vocabulary in our language to describe. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 6. She, the Queen of Sheba, said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. Behold, the half was not told. How are we going to describe heaven? We can't. And that's why we're going to take just a few glimpses. Because we don't have words to describe what heaven is going to be like. Speechless. Story is told of a little girl born blind. As she grew up, her mother would take her around, take her outside, and say to her, this is a tree. Put her hand on it. This is the trunk of the tree. This is a branch. And out here is a leaf. And then she would say, you feel a little warm? That comes from the sun. The sun is up in the sky. And the sky is blue, a beautiful blue. And at nighttime, the sun doesn't shine, but the moon shines. The moon is white, and in the sky, the sky is a darker blue than in the daytime. Now, she's speaking to a girl that never saw. And in that blue, there are stars. And the stars twinkle, go off and on. One day, the child was now about 4 years old, there are some things that will not be in heaven. And we can appreciate those. For example, and we know them. We read about them in the book of Isaiah particularly, in the Gospels, and in the book of the Revelation. There'll be no tears in heaven, no heartaches, no pain, no sickness, and no death. We can understand that. People never get tired. They carry no burdens and never get old. Isn't that nice? No disappointments in heaven. Oh, I remember years ago, at a gospel campaign in New York City. We had a young man, good bass baritone voice, and he sang the hymn, No Disappointments in Heaven. I heard from him a year ago. I don't know if he's still singing. He had to have his leg amputated. No disappointments in heaven. No separations, no sin, no accidents, no cemeteries or funerals. And we won't need our brother, or you won't need me up there. Nobody's going to need dental care or any other kind of care. That's something to look forward to, isn't it? No illegitimate children. No pornography. No lustful. No taxes. How about that? And no rent. And he's going to prepare a place for me, rent free. Now, those are some of the things that will not be in heaven. But we have just read that human language cannot describe what will be there. And so the best that we can do is get glimpses of heaven. But these glimpses are not for everybody. To get these glimpses of heaven, you have to be an overcomer. Now, before we go into what the overcomers will see, let's find out who is an overcomer. Because only the overcomers will get glimpses of heaven. 1 John chapter 5. To get these glimpses of heaven, you have to be an overcomer. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Whosoever is born of God overcomes. I take it that I believe the majority, in fact, all of us here have been born again. We are overcomers. Conquerors and overcomers through the blood. Verse 5. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? We believe that, don't we? You remember in the Gospel of John there was this man whom the Lord healed. And then the Lord told him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, who is he? The Lord said, I am he. I believe. And you remember the eunuch? When Philip went to the eunuch said, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? He said, if you believe. He said, I believe that he's the Son of God. You remember the case of Peter? The Lord asked, whom do men say that I am? This, that, and the other. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Overcomers believe that Christ is the Son of God. Overcomers believe, as we get in Revelation chapter 21, in the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And there's so many people that say, you all have a bloody religion. We do. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is the only blood that can cleanse from sin. Speaking to a fellow, and this has happened apart from me, I don't see how blood can take away sin. You know what we read in Isaiah chapter 1? Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. How can red blood make red scarlet sin whiter than the snow? I don't understand it. But you know what? I believe it. Overcomers believe. Now let us look at some of the promises. In fact, we'll only look at one promise to the overcomer tonight. The book of the Revelation, chapter 2. Verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, to him that overcometh I will give to eat of the tree of life. There's a problem there. We've already seen that the overcomers have everlasting life. Why then should they eat of the tree of life? What does the tree of life do? Book of Genesis, please. Chapter 3. Eat of the tree of life. Chapter 3, verse 22. The Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." If you eat of the tree of life, you live forever. But we already have eternal life. Why are you going to eat of the tree of life? You have life. Why eat of the tree of life? There are two reasons why people eat. Most of us eat to live. Is that right? But then you have a lot of people that live to eat. That's why you have 65% of the people in the United States overweight. They eat too much. They live to eat. But we live to live. Now, from time to time, Brother George isn't here, but he won't mind me saying this. We go out to eat. Enjoyable times. You know, he chooses what he wants to eat, and I choose what I want. Why do I choose what I want? Because I like it. I like the taste of it. I like the flavor. And do you know there's a flavor in the Word of God? There's a flavor in divine food. A blessed, precious flavor. Psalm 16 and 11. We're going to eat of the tree of life, not to get life, but to enjoy. We're going to have a good time up there. Not a wild time. No, not what you see on TV. But a good time. We're going to enjoy ourselves in heaven. Psalm 16, did I say? Verse 11. We're going to eat to enjoy. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Now notice. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, pleasures forevermore. That's why we're going to eat. Not to get everlasting life. We're going to eat for the pure joy of eating. The pure joy. Psalm 36. Verse 7. Psalm 36, verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. We're going to have a good time in heaven. Enjoying the food and the presence of the Lord. Song of Solomon, please. Chapter 2. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. The latter part of verse 3. You'll have to pardon me. This Bible is old, but the pages still stick together. Chapter 2, verse 3. The latter part of verse 3. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. His fruit was sweet to my taste. That's why we're going to eat in heaven. Not to stay alive, but to enjoy the fruit and the presence of the Lord. He brought me to the banqueting house. His banner over me was love. Isn't it? Well, you know, I look forward to that. If I were invited to the president's house, oh, what do you wear? How do you sit? How do you address the president? This, then, I'm going to sit with the Lord. In his presence, well, just being there will be pleasure. Are you looking forward to it, beloved? Are you looking forward to it? Jeremiah chapter 15. We're going to eat for the pure joy of being with the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 15. Verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. You know that's true even now. Sit down and feed on the word. It thrills you. At least it thrills me. I'm sure it thrills all of us. Get alone with the book. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. And that's what's going to happen in the presence of the Lord. We're going to be with him, feed with him, and have a good time. The world talks about having a good time. They have a wild and nonsensical time. We're going to have a pleasant and good time in the presence of the Lord. But look with me again, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Glimpses of heaven, a place of joy and happiness. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 again, please. Verse 4. He was caught up into paradise. Oh, my. What is paradise like, going to be like? One translation renders it a pleasure garden. I've had the joy of visiting many gardens. Pleasure garden. We're going to have an enjoyable time in heaven. I think of one garden. From New York City going to Albany on Route 95, as you go north, you come to what is known as the Mohonk Gardens. And you know what the signs say? Don't reduce your speed. Why? The gardens are so beautiful, the tendency is to stop and look at them. That's heaven. Heaven. A place of exceedingly great beauty. In the island of Jamaica in the Caribbean, there is what is known as Castleton Gardens. Oh, that's a beautiful place. And you can learn a lot of science in that garden. Then they have Hope Gardens. Oh, that's another beautiful garden. Then in New York City, at the Brooklyn Botanical Gardens, there is a place there known as the Garden of Fragrance. Garden of Fragrance. It is especially built for the blind. All of the signs are in Braille. The blind are allowed to touch the plants, smell the plants. What a beautiful aroma in that garden. In St. Louis, they have what they call the jewel box. There are no jewels in there. Just filled with flowers. Beautiful flowers. What beauty. heaven is going to be a place of exceedingly great beauty. That's where we're going. I'll be very honest with you. I look forward to it. As I said, I've seen some beautiful places. Versailles in France. Beautiful gardens. I remember when we went to the palace, I was so occupied with the gardens, taking pictures, that the group went and left me. Beautiful gardens. Heaven is going to be a place of exceedingly great beauty. In New York City, every year they used to have what they called the flower show in Madison Square Garden. Oh, I like to go to the flower show. Such beauty. The paradise of heaven, a place of beauty. There's some other gardens I could tell you about, but you know gardens. And we can't express it in words, but heaven is going to be a place of great beauty. And there we're going to sit with our Lord. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, we read, the Lord says, I'm going to sup with him. Can you imagine sitting down with the Lord at the same table and eating with him? As I indicated before, were the president to invite me, I'd be so nervous I wouldn't know what to do. But I'm going to sit at the table with the Lord. Look him in the face and he's going to look at me. And as we shall see in further studies, you know what the Lord is going to do? He's got a special name for me that nobody else knows. We'll come to that. I wonder what he's going to call me. I wonder what he's going to call you. You know, I have a pet name for my wife. My children don't even know the name. I wonder what the Lord is going to call me. Isn't that something to look forward to? Heaven is going to be a wonderful, wonderful place. I'm about finished. That's all I have to say. We will look in the future at some of the other promises to the overcomers. He's going to give us a special name. He's going to set us up as a pillar in heaven. We're going to be pillars. Not posts, pillars. And some other beautiful things, promises to the overcomers. Maybe just look forward to heaven. That's where we're going. I am a stranger here. Heaven is my home. That's where I'm going. I remember a brother who said, I have two citizenships. One in heaven and one down here, United States citizenship. He said, I value the United States citizenship very much, but that heavenly one I value most of all. And one day, we are going to see the Lord. We are going to be with him. And things that we don't understand and can't understand, we will understand at that time. 6:24, please. When we all get to heaven. Beloved, are you looking forward to